Beautiful day out. Tigers are the day game today against the Twins. We're joined this morning by the Tiger manager, A.J. Hinch. A.J., good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good, and I want to start off with this. You got a lot of arms at the trade deadline, a lot of new things to try and figure out with these guys. We'll talk about the relationships a little bit in just a moment, but how long does it take for you to figure out how you want to utilize and when you want to utilize some of those arms?
Yeah, hopefully not too long, because like we're right in the thick of it in August, and you spend a lot of time getting to know these guys and also just looking at their track records. You know, it's so good to get them in the games and get them in their roles, and we'll sort out how we're going to use them. I mean, it's somewhat fairly obvious. Like, Charlie's going to start. Finnegan's going to be at the back end somewhere, and Montero's going to pitch probably as much, you know, kind of as good as he pitches. Like, the more he pitches well, the more he's going to get to pitch. But so I think when you turn over part of the bullpen, you know, it's time to get up and going, because the games, I think we have 40-plus games left. These guys are going to all be pitching in important innings. And the faster we get them up and running and into their normal routines, the better they'll pitch.
So, Finnegan, you don't name closers, but you said back-end guy. How can he impact the bullpen as maybe the most proven piece you guys added?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm not afraid to announce closers. I just, with where our pitching staff is and how we're constructed, I think it's important that we leave open the option that, you know, he's going to come in the seventh or he's going to come in the eighth. You know, Vest is going to pitch back there. Tommy Kahnle, we've got to get him back to, you know, the time where we all knew when he came in, like the rally was over or the inning was over. He was an automatic out when it came to coming in the game. Tyler Holton. So, I think for me, like, I fall into the same sort of habit that I use the guys in a similar way. Finnegan's going to get a lot of closing opportunities. I just don't want his mentality that it's this big change if all of a sudden we need him in the seventh with the bases loaded and he's the best option. So it's a little bit of how to manage your team, not so much roles, but I think he and Vest are going to get the last out the most.
You've got a history with Charlie Morton and a relationship with him. How do you envision, or how can he best impact this rotation that you've been able to put together?
Yeah. Like six innings like he did the other night.
Like he was, yeah, that would be great, know, every time.
Like sort of vintage Charlie Morton with spin, velo, sort of defying the age. You know, he's still, the ball's moving well. His body's moving great. So, like, that's stable start. If we get that guy, he can impact us in a ton of different ways. I do think his presence matters. I mean, I love this guy. My history with him is well documented, but I believe in the person, and if we get that kind of production, which has been how he's pitched for 10 or 11 starts prior to the deadline, you know, that stable part, when we lose Reese Olson, you know, obviously we've had a couple starters, you know, have trouble getting deeper into the game. It's, you know, it's nice to have that presence of the guy that's been there, done that. He did not even blink whenever, you know, he was in trouble the other night on Sunday Night Baseball. And that comes with experience, and he can handle it.
How does that, the individual that he is, not just the pitcher, but the individual and the experience, how can that impact some of the younger pitchers on your pitching staff?
Yeah, I think just the steady approach. I mean, listen, he walked in with 18 years of Major League service. So, you know, that alone, I think, will get everybody's attention. When they put up that stat the other day where he was making his 400th start, and it's, you know, Scherzer, Kershaw, and Verlander. Like, that's pretty good test of time. It doesn't mean he's been, you know, necessarily as great as all of those throughout the years. He's battled some injuries. He's had a little bit of inconsistency. But the last 18 years, you know what you're doing. And as long as that breaking ball is playing the way that it's played for, you know, let's call it the last month and a half and into his first start as a Tiger, like, that is a good pitch that's a weapon against some of the better hitters around the league. And it's why we acquired him, is because he has something to offer to help us win.
Talking to Tiger manager A.J. Hinch, the deadline overall felt like more reclamation projects than proven commodities. Some of that philosophy you guys have, Chris Fetter. Do you feel like you have enough arms right now to make the run deep into October?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of arms. You know, I think it's I think it's always interesting the emotions that come, you know, with the deadline. Our team, you know, really did handle the unknown pretty well. I mean, I think there was a lot of talk and a lot of curiosity leading into it. It was the first time that this group has ever been around a team that's trying to add pieces, regardless of what those pieces are or where they're going to play. So that was a new experience for our guys. But when you look at, as we get healthy, I think that's going to be super key. Like, you know, Paul Sewald is pitching the World Series. Jose Urquidy is pitching the World Series. Like, those are names that aren't necessarily at the top of people's lists of waiting for them to come back. But they're key pieces for to get to the finish line of a game and get to the finish line of a season. So, you know, obviously our team, super excited to get to know a lot of these guys. I mean, it's the way the deadline's covered, I think, just brings a lot of passion and a lot of anxiety and a lot of curiosity and a lot of answers from the outside. And that our job now is to get this group to back being a team. We've won, what is it, what, 5 of 8 after going through a section of games that I don't really want to talk about anymore. Like, it wasn't fun. But I think this team, you know, knows we're in a position, you know, to win this division and get into the playoffs and go deep into October. We've got to handle what we're doing now. We got a lot to do to get to there, and the opportunity is right in front of us.
On the offensive side of things, Riley Green, it's been a tough 3 or 4 weeks. The ratio at the rate that he is striking out has been a topic for us. How concerning is that for you? And is there anything that you can that he can do to correct that?
Yeah. Well, concerning is a tough word. I mean, obviously, I don't want this guy swinging and missing. I don't want him punching out. I mean, the concerning part is because it doesn't have to be part of his game. Like, when we look at Riley Green and his impact over the course of the year, and you look up at the scoreboard, if we didn't list the strikeouts, you'd be like, man, this guy's having an incredible season. All-star, you know, big production, hit in the middle of the order. And then the strikeouts creep up. You know, I didn't really see it coming to this extent. He's going to be better for it. I've seen players in my time who have gone through these stretches of, you know, whether it's selling out for power or whether it's getting a little bit into swing mode. And, you know, when the team was struggling, he's trying to do a little too much because he knows he's the center part of our lineup. All those things kind of hit him, and he's had a really hard time getting out of it. So I think he will. He's too talented and too good of a hitter not to. And we've tried to get him to kind of take a deep breath. Yesterday, I gave him a full day off. I mean, I was going to use him in the ninth inning if he was part of a tying run type thing. So I obviously still want him a huge part of this. But the mental break yesterday, I'm hoping, you know, will lead to him just ball and play moving forward. And then when he does that, you know, he'll hit it to the 20th row, you know, or he'll hit an opposite field ball that continues to carry out of the ballpark. So we need Riley Green. He knows that. Right now, it's been a little rough.
Beyond just the last 3 weeks or so, lefties have really eaten him up this season. You guys are big on matchups. Would you be in favor of not a full platoon necessarily, but giving him more off days against lefties? Would you be in favor of giving Karp some of those at bats? Because again, he's hitting right now and not striking out at the same clip.
Yeah. No, I think those are all fair questions, and I will see how it plays out. I think that we face Kikuchi this weekend against the Angels. They'll both probably be out of the lineup on that Sunday. But I think you're always kind of paying attention to what it does to your lineup and what that advantage is to having either guy off. The one thing that Riley has consistently given us is defense, you know, and I think that's the part. Karp, I've had a hard time keeping him on the field. So, like, there's other things other than the one at bat against lefties that I have to weigh, but we'll see how it plays out. It's all about the group that I have on the bench and the confidence we have that they're the better matchup at the beginning of the game, and then finding Karp at bat in there or finding Riley in at bat off the bench. Kind of see how it plays out.
I know you don't want to necessarily talk about the 12 of 13. We won't go there, but
you're really going to bring it up, John?
No, but part of, or at least part of the timeline that matches up is Kerry Carpenter is back in the lineup. And how impactful, what does he mean to this team of just simply being available to be in the lineup?
It matters a lot, and it matters because of the presence he has, specifically when he stays in the strike zone. Like, last night's at bats were pretty good. The last couple nights where they're 4 and 5 and 6 pitch at bats, he's not chasing. You know, he gets into swing mode a little bit. He's always one swing away. And what I notice is just how differently the other manager manages against our team. And sometimes I stack Riley and Carp. Today I'm not. I'm putting Torque in between them. But I think it's important because he's the guy they circle. Because he knows, we can separate like we did the other day. We can come from behind if all of a sudden, he gets a good pitch to hit. And that second and third time through, I rarely see their bullpen quiet. And a lot of that centers around Kerry Carpenter. And a good example is the Twins have one left-handed pitcher in the bullpen, and they have to deploy him at the right time. We know that's going to be Colt, Carp, or Riley. Carp being in the middle of that, if they go after Colt, it takes them some time to get to Carp. If they wait and go to Greeny, Carp gets a bunch of right-handed at-bats. So he puts so much pressure on decisions on the other side.
Multi-hit day for Vierling yesterday. Are you hoping, hey, it's going to start to wake up here?
Yeah, we need him. We need him. And obviously had some couple tough plays in center field that he was pretty bothered by last night. And I think, he was late to the season, but we got to get him going and get him playing. I mean, part of my confidence, having the left-handed bats on the bench is the emergence of the right-handed bats. I think Jermai Jones has done a really good job against left-handed pitching. Andy came back up, has had his moments against left-handed pitching. Vierling seems to be a really key for us to be a strong player against left-handed pitching because that's how our team operates. It's also how the other team attacks us. So hopefully last night will give him a little bit of boost of energy and confidence that we know he can impact his team.
Well, that's part of the bet, right? Scott Harris talked about the moves we make and don't make our bets on guys. Not adding a bat is a bet on Vierling, essentially, right, among other guys.
Yeah, among other guys. I think the whole group together really does function. What's really interesting, when you play against us, and I have a lot of friends that are managers and around the league, and at different times during this year, we have been an incredibly hard team to play because we have strength on your weakness, and we're able to match up and do a lot of different things. There's other times where collectively we've been quiet and we haven't found those strengths, and those are the days that we don't score. So it's much different whenever we're not maximizing our strengths and we have a hole somewhere where you just don't feel like good at-bats are coming. But I do go back to better times where we've been a little bit more consistent. Teams don't love playing us when we've got guys playing at the level in which they should, and we end up in the better position with the matchup.
We just had a topic about the increase in ratings when the Tigers are on Sunday Night Baseball. Obviously, if Scooble's starting, we know everybody wants to watch him because he's the best pitcher on the planet. What do you see as the attraction of why everybody wants to get a view of what you guys are doing on the field?
Well, I think we're a likable team. I think when you see Detroit, and you see the emergence last season, we were a big story. We've been in first place for the majority of this season. And obviously I think we've got some good personalities that have started to get recognized around the league. I mean, when you have six all-stars, that's seven if you count the bat boy. it's pretty good to have our brand, kind of out in the national spotlight. The games that we have played on Sunday Night Baseball have been pretty good games. Maybe that's attractive, but I think there's some curiosity on what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what's next for us. Led by Tarek Skubal, obviously, who's arguably the biggest name on the pitching side of the game.
He's AJ Hinch. I know it's one game at a time. I sense a little more urgency as we're getting down to it here. It's good to catch up.
40-plus games, we got a sprint race here, so you're right. It's time to go.
Appreciate it, AJ. Thanks.
You got it.
It's 97.1.
Hey, there's a lot of great moments right now where you can use a nice cold beverage, and Founders Brewing Company, they know it. They've been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. Their focus is always on using the highest quality ingredients, and you can count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that's never out of place. So whether you're tailgating, maybe you're watching our ball club, you're sitting down for a football game, grilling, hitting the beach, kicking back, it doesn't matter. There's so many great moments. It's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are. So look for All Day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Did you notice that too? The little extra juice from AJ, a little urgency.
Yeah, and I think it, I mean, we've been talking about this, where you want to be one of the top two seeds.
Yep.
And I think there's that sense of urgency not to fall back into anything near where they were in that 12 and 13. A lot of lessons can be learned. How do they utilize those so they're not wasted moving forward?
I mean, he's Mr. We got to win the game today.
Right.
And he's like 40-game sprint.
One of 162 is usually the answer that we get.
And he's like, got to get the bullpen right, got to get guys in there, got to get going. Sprint, sprint, sprints. That was a different tone from him.
It was. And this is the month to do all of that. One, to rack up some wins, but also figure some of those things out in the process.
You said earlier I was being a little nicer to you about our Tiger discussion.
Oh, yeah, when we're going, you know, half glass full, half glass empty versus
the shouting match from earlier.
Yeah.
I said I'm trying to be nicer. Texter says, try harder, Costa. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, a man who was waiting for his brother to bring him gas along I-94 in Ypsilanti over the weekend was critically injured when another driver who may have been impaired fell asleep and hit him. So when troopers got to the scene, they spoke to the victim's brother. Obviously, he showed up with the gas, told him that his 30-year-old brother had called, said, hey, I ran out of gas. Could you bring me some? His car was stopped on the right shoulder of an exit ramp. And the brother said that when he got to the scene, he saw this pickup truck driving into the woods along the freeway, and his brother was lying there in the road next to his car. Police say that their investigation found that the victim was standing outside of his pickup truck when he was hit by a 50-year-old man. The at-fault driver had fallen asleep, struck the victim's truck before hitting the victim, and then continued on into the woods. That driver, the at-fault driver, suffered only minor injuries. Of course, police say alcohol and or drugs may have been a factor. A Delta flight attendant is going after the airline after she says she was injured seriously during that crash that left the plane upside down on the runway in Toronto. We all remember that. This flight attendant, Vanessa Miles, was on that flight that crash landed upside down. She was actually riding as a passenger at the time. She was not working on that particular flight. 80 people were on board. 21 were injured. She said that after the plane had landed, it started to fill with smoke, jet fuel. She lost consciousness while hanging upside down. She was strapped into her seatbelt.
Terrifying.
Obviously, when she came through, she was able to kind of fall to the roof of the plane, and she had to then get out of that plane, which she said like exploded into flames just moments after she actually got out. Lucky to make it out alive. She said she had to stand in 15-degree weather then for about an hour after that. The lawsuit says she suffered serious and severe permanent injuries. She's requesting $75 million plus court fees. She basically accuses the airline for not taking enough time to properly train its pilots and also the pilot who was flying the plane at the time. Okay, are you guys familiar with the Nicki Minaj challenge that's going on social media?
No idea.
No.
You haven't seen it? Have seen it and not known you have seen it.
Okay.
I mean, because I see it everywhere. It's basically this, like, elaborate balancing act that women are doing. You balance on any sort of random objects. It could be, like, stacked dumbbells. It could be anything. A Jenga. People are doing it on, like, top of a Jenga tower. And you wear high heels. And you balance on one foot with your leg crossed in this Nicki Minaj pose that she does in one of her music videos. Yes. And it's everywhere. People are doing it all over. There's the Jenga one. I mean, I've seen all sorts of
objects.
I've
never seen this.
You haven't?
Is she on, like, lipstick?
Yes, or nail polish.
Nail polish.
And they're not just doing it on the floor, if you see. Some of them are, but most of them are doing them up on a counter.
You want to see people fall? Is that what you want to see, John?
That's where I'm getting to. There's this woman who is trying to be an influencer, an aspiring influencer in Russia. She broke her spine after she fell off the top of her counter while trying to do this Nicki Minaj challenge. So she posted this on Instagram. She's trying to balance on top of a tub of baby formula because she just had a baby, like, weeks ago. Right? That's on top of all.
So probably not a good idea.
The formula wasn't just sitting on the counter. It was stacked on top of, like, a frying pan.
What?
That was then on top of the counter. And in the video, she loses her balance. The pan goes sliding out from underneath her. Obviously, she topples backwards and falls off the counter. Medical emergency. Broken spine.
How many likes did it get?
I don't know. How many followers does she have now? It might have worked in her advantage, at least for that.
I just don't understand what people are doing sometimes.
I watch these thinking, oh, my God. Like, because you see them standing there, and somebody, like, helps them up, and they're holding them, and then they let go, and they get the video, and it just seems...
dumb?
It seems really dumb.
Yeah.
It seems really dumb.
Well.
This is kind of cool. Single women are now using the dating app Hinge to get their furniture built. So apparently single women are using the app like a handyman service, and they're updating their profiles basically saying, hey, I can be won over by a man who's handy, right? Who's good with their hands, I guess. I don't know if that's what they're saying, but maybe take it
good with
two
tools.
Ways.
Yeah.
So one woman says that, I feel like guys need a little job or mission, and then they feel so happy. They're like a golden retriever. They accomplish something, and then they're happy to help. So... what's
there is
happening?
Some truth to that sense of accomplishment.
Oh, there's always a truth to a sense of accomplishment, sure.
And basically, there's an
expert.
How
do they pay?
Oh, John.
It's.
You normally skip that part?
What? No, no.
There's
I'm just
wondering.
There's no
payment involved. That's their date. Like, come on over.
Oh,
we can have a glass of wine while you assemble my IKEA furniture.
Oh,
or
okay.
You can install my cabinets in my kitchen.
Oh, you get to hang out with me while you
yes.
fix my house.
Yes.
You get a date with this lucky lady.
Boy, that sounds fun.
And experts say that there's been this post-pandemic shift where ladies want utility, not just chemistry. And this trend is basically like men get to impress the ladies by showing off their skills.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they can show off their good problem solvers, their...
yeah,
you know.
Good handiwork.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently it's taking off, and people on TikTok are showing off all the work they've gotten done for free because of this dating app.
Huh.
Kind of genius, right? I don't know. Works for them. Finally, you might not have heard, but it is here. Breast milk ice cream available nationwide if you can get your hands on it. Because I tried, and it is sold out online.
Try tomorrow.
I'm going to try tomorrow because I thought I'll send it to the studio. $12.99 per pint. Order at Frida.com. Not made with real breast milk, people, but...
it's just like healthy ice cream.
According to
healthy,
it's supposed to mimic
still,
all the nutrients.
You can't get it out
honestly,
of your head.
Honestly, if it was a blind taste test, I probably would have no issue with it. But knowing that it is breast milk ice cream,
we
I just...
we just won't tell you, John. It'll be ice cream Fridays.
Ugh.
All right, that's Heather with the news, 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. Well, listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. Well, that's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on my morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right. $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
All right, John, we're going to time his 40-yard dash. He is making his way over. Not exactly sprinting, but we will be joined by the general manager of the Detroit Lions, Brad Holmes, momentarily.
Yeah, just a few moments.
We can see him.
Yeah.
Wave to him.
He's walking right past the, as we do play-by-play on Brad Holmes' walk.
The autograph signers?
Yeah, the autograph signers.
Do you think he stops?
Hopefully
they're waving at him.
Yeah,
they're trying.
Yeah, he's got the wave. I got somewhere to be. And that somewhere is here. So we'll.
Why would I not be surprised though that like fans would want the GM's autograph here? Like in and other cities, no. But with him here, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, and he's a very visible individual here in Detroit because of what he has done for a franchise that has honestly struggled until he arrived and Dan Campbell arrived. And so it's been a great few years. Obviously, the team is in a much different place. Questions that we'll ask are much different than we asked in year one,
no
in year
kidding.
Two.
Yeah.
And his challenges are a lot different now than they were at that time.
To his credit, though, and not all the other teams in the city will embrace it the way they have said we're chasing the Super Bowl. It's the,
yeah.
it's the goal. It is. They'll speak about it. They'll acknowledge it. They'll work towards it. They're not afraid of it.
Yeah, and obviously everybody wants to know about the edge. Everyone wants to know about the interior offensive line.
Yep.
And now the newest question, which we saw on full display last week in the Hall of Fame game, is what are they doing with the number two quarterback? But that's the difference of what last year it was Jake Bates. and it was also number two quarterback. But it's much different talking about those things, guys that may never see the field and you hope never do as a number two quarterback, versus how are you going, like, where are you going to throw the ball? You need receivers. You need this. You need that. That's not where this team is.
Lions are out on the practice field. They got practice going on. We're going to be out here as a station a bunch next week, too, as the Lions gear up for the season. Yeah, Brad, we're on the air, buddy. Let's get going. Let's do it. Yeah. Good to see you. We were watching your walk over. We were timing your 40, and we noticed you weren't sprinting. So we killed some time. We're good.
Yeah.
We'll get you on the headset there.
Yeah. So go ahead and put the headset on there and pull that mic down. When was the last time you did a 40?
Oh, my gosh. 2002 in the spring when I ran for the Scouts, and they rejected me and said I wasn't good enough to play in the NFL.
There's no gray in the beard.
I got it.
I've
been trying to become a Scout.
Well, okay. So let's talk about camp so far and just the energy and the mentality for you guys going into the season. How you feeling?
Yeah, the energy's been great. I think Dan's done an incredible job of making sure that the message has been clear, the tone has been set. You know, obviously we got a lot of new faces from a coaching staff standpoint, and they brought a ton of energy. So I think everything's been a smooth transition. You know, staying relatively healthy. Couple, you know, that you would like to have better outcomes, but for the most part, you know, it's been pretty good.
Challenges for you are different than they were when they took over the job.
Mm-hmm.
What are the challenges that you have in this training camp with this team right now?
Man, that's a really good question. As the roster has improved, and it really was kind of like that, we first started seeing those challenges in the draft, really, on the approach that we took, is that, you know, it's getting harder and harder for a lot of the young guys, just because when you add more veterans, you have better players that are going into their second and third year. It's just, you know, you want to really give these guys time to develop and all that, but sometimes, you know, you just might not, because me and Dan are the best man's going to play, the best man's going to make the team. And so that's one that's gotten harder. You know, there's a lot of different avenues and routes that we can take, but that's probably the biggest challenge that I'm seeing.
Since the last time we talked to you, Frank Ragnow's retirement, also replacing Zeitler up front,
yep.
Just your confidence level that you guys can replicate what's been an elite offensive line.
Yeah, no, we still feel very good about it. We're still very confident in that offensive line that's led by Hank Fraley, which obviously we've got a ton of confidence in. He's one of the best, if not the best, in the league doing it. But, you know, we feel good about, you know, Graham. You know, Graham Moss has a lot of experience playing center. He's been a lot of experience playing guard. But, you know, he's got some comfort and familiarity with Jared being under center. So we start off with Tate, you know, give him a lot of reps at center. And he still can do it. But I think just really, you know, as we work through these combinations, I feel like in all fairness that Graham and his experience being in the offense at that position, as you know, that's a lot. I mean, that is a lot. And Tate can handle it. But, you know, I think early on with him, you know, back at guard, but he's still going to get some reps there.
The other guard that we had a chance to see a little bit at the end, Christian Mahogany.
Yeah.
What are you seeing from him in year two now that he's healthy and going through his first camp?
Look, like you said, he showed some promise last year. It was in spurts. You know, he was kind of sick early and kind of came on late. But now that he's had the full offseason, he hasn't missed time, he's had a great camp. I mean, he's had a great camp. And, you know, you have hope and optimism, but you've only seen a little bit. But what he's shown so far, he's doing a great job.
How big a deal is backup quarterback? We can see a lot of them in the preseason. Ideally, they never play in the regular season. But, you know, Hendon Hooker said he gave himself a 0 out of 10 for his performance in the first preseason game. How big a deal is backup quarterback?
Oh, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And, you know, when you're trying to acquire those guys, you know, often those guys are, as they should be, they're very selective in the situation that they'll choose to go into. But obviously, we had drafted Hendon for his development and his upside, and he's been getting better and better and better. We obviously brought Kyle in that's had a lot of experience, starts under his belt. He's been in that role for a while. So it's been a really good competition, but it is a very important position. You know, knock on wood, hopefully you kind of hear all this about, you know, how come we haven't seen Hendon play? Well, good. Good. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that, but at the same time, you know, they're one play away, so those guys got to be ready.
What are your expectations? What do you need in a number two quarterback?
You know, just being able to efficiently manage the offense and play clean football. You know, you don't need to be Superman. Obviously, it's a production business, and you want guys to make plays. But the other thing is mindset and mentality. You know, like, guys have to go into – if they have to go into a game, you know, it'd be unfortunately if they had to go into a game because the starter's not available. They have to have the mindset to just go in there and just let it rip, that you didn't have all the reps during the week. And so you can't get in there and get gunshot and say, oh, my gosh, I didn't get all these reps during the week and I got to go in there. No, you got to go in there and just let it go and have confidence in yourself.
How much confidence do you have in Hendon Hooker? Because at the end of last year, you guys brought Teddy Bridgewater back.
Yep.
Where are you at with Hendon overall in the evaluation?
Oh, he's getting better and better. I thought he strung together a couple of good days these past days. I know the Hall of Fame game wasn't ideal. And look, he was not trying to make an excuse for him at all, because even he told you how he didn't like his performance. But it wasn't the perfect situation to be in either. But you know, he's going to get a chance to be in a better position. He'll start the game in Atlanta, you know, kind of get in there with a lot of our twos and just kind of see how he operates. And then, but, you know, the expectations are still high, just like I told everybody in the spring. He's getting better and better. And it's not really so much like the thing with Teddy Bridgewater last year. Just, I think you guys all know, it's just when you're in a playoff atmosphere, you know, Hendon's never been in that situation in the NFL before. So we were trying to do the best thing for the team. But we're trying to give him reps now to get him hopefully prepared to be ready for that.
I want to ask you maybe an obvious question, but first of all, Hutch is back.
Yeah.
And how does he look? And second of all, you broke Taylor Decker contract news with us last year.
Come on, Brad.
I know. I was walking out here. I was like, man, I don't have anything good to
do. You set a high bar, Brad. Break some news.
Yeah. So I guess the obvious one is, it seems like it would be a huge priority to lock up Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, yeah.
How are things going in that realm?
Yeah, you know, it hasn't had really any intense talks yet. Look, I mean, we'll definitely get some dialogue going soon here. But, you know, all those things take time, especially the larger the deal is. But, you know, as the player, he's looked great. And I've been saying I'm really not all that surprised, just because of tracking him since college, since early days in Michigan. I mean, he had that big injury in Michigan, and he came back. I think nobody would argue a better player. And I don't know if it's exactly the same, because the games haven't kicked off yet, but what he's shown in practice, I mean, the change of direction, the explosiveness, I mean, he's not having any effects. But I'm not surprised on a guy like him that has this kind of mindset. But it's very important, and hopefully soon we'll get some dialogue going.
Talking to Brad Holmes, general manager, Detroit Lions. Last time we had you on, we talked about edge, and we had that exchange about, I don't understand, Za'Darius Smith. Not an elite edge, right? I know that was a different conversation. Za'Darius is still out there. Is there interest on your side?
Yeah, look, you know, Za'Darius did a lot of good things last year for us, and we said we're going to keep in contact with his agent. But, you know, everything's not just one-sided. You know, Za'Darius has expectations, the team has expectations. So sometimes it takes a while for those things to get on the same page, especially a guy, you know, that's been in the league as long as he has. You know, I'm sure that, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't want to be in training camp, but, you know, if he misses some time. So, you know, there's obviously still interest there. And, you know, we've been keeping in touch.
How have you seen those guys operate opposite Aiden? Marcus Davenport, I know Josh is out. Levi is not going to be available.
Yep.
How are you seeing that position take place?
Yeah, now Davenport, he's having an excellent camp. He really is. I've always said that he is an ideal complement on the other side of Aiden. We all know what the issue has been, but it's never been an ability issue. So hopefully he can have better luck there. But, you know, we finally got Muhammad back out to practice. He's been showing some good thing. And the young kid, Ahmed, he's been doing a really good job. He made some plays in a Hall of Fame game. Yeah. He's still got some ways to go. But what I like about him is that even when he kind of makes a mistake or does something wrong, it's 1,000 miles per hour. So that always going to fit in well here. And we got some young guys that were kind of undrafted guys that are taking some steps too. You know, Nate Lynn, we signed as an undrafted guy last year. You know, he kind of showed up in the Hall of Fame game a little bit. Obviously, he missed a year with the shoulder last year, so it's good to see him out here. Ukwu, who, you know, played a little bit, had on practice squad last year. He's been doing some good things too. So it's a lot of youth out there. It's very comforting to have a guy like Casey Rogers in here now that's coaching these guys up, and that we have a ton of respect for all the things that he did in Tampa. So so far so good.
Things good with Alex Anzalone? I know there's a little tension. You guys gave him a little more money. How were those talks? Maybe some harsh realities?
Yeah, you know, look, it's normal football business, and it's just the business aspect of it. You know, we value Anzalone highly, all the things that he's done for us, and he's been a four-time captain for us and all that. So, you know, he's still a good player. He played well last year. He's getting a little longer in the tooth, but you know, as far as what we're seeing right now, he's still performing well. But was happy that we're able to come to some type of resolution for the immediate right now. And look, I'm sure that Anzalone would tell you that he's glad that it's behind him for the immediate for right now, so he can just go out there, concentrate, and play football. And he's looked good out here.
I know we're up against it. We got to get to a break, but I can't believe we've talked this entire time without talking about your first-round draft pick, Tyleek Williams. With Aleem McNeil being down for some time still, Levi out, there's a lot of pressure on him to produce as a rookie.
Yeah, and you know what? He's been exactly what we expected. You know, he came in great shape. You know, his body looks good. His weight looks good. And everything that he's been doing out practice, he's been making plays, but we're not surprised because that's just what he's done on tape. You know, when guys have that kind of power and athletic ability and ability to bend, and he's very smart, so he's not being slowed down by the thinking, so he's just out there just playing. But so far so good. I don't know if it's a lot of pressure, he's just doing what he does. And obviously I think Aleem is doing very, very well in his rehab process, so once he gets back, then you know, we'll just be even more fortified in the middle there. And I think the other thing too, the other component with Tyleek, is that DJ Reader was able to have like a full off season. He was kind of rehabbing for something the year before. We signed him in free agency last year, so he's had a fall season, and he looks amazing out here.
Great.
I'll take the phone call from Jimmy. I want to ask you one more question. Yep. I know we got the clock. I'll break the clock. People look at the cap space. I'm sure you've seen this, and they go, why aren't they doing more in 2025? Yep. We know 26, you guys are negative. The cap can be manipulated. Just a chance to speak directly to the fans who want to know how it is you guys are using cap space to put the best product on the field.
Yeah, obviously cap space is important, but, you know, the cash budget, you could argue, is even more important. So you can look at a number and just say, oh, well, this is the cap room you have. But when you start for our unique situation where we have a lot of young guys that we're trying to budget and plan for, that number that you're seeing in black and white, that's not really what the – like, that is the number, but – in our meetings and our planning and our budgeting, that's not really the number. So, look, it's not just, you know, you got a whole new reset of cash that you can just spend out. It's like you have to be very strategic with how you manage that. And we're just in a unique position because we have a lot of young players that we'd like to keep around. And unfortunate for us, they've been very good players, so they're not going to be the cheapest either. So
you've done too good a job drafting them, Brad.
that's the other side of the sword that you're going to have to pay. You know, you just got to build a pay, but we have the right people in place. We got a good team around us to make sure that we're being strategic, and hopefully we can get them all done and keep them.
He's Brad Holmes.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's 97.1.